Susan has $750,000 and is completely debt-free, but would one unpredictable health emergency ruin her entire plan? Hey, welcome back to Rise in Retirement. I'm Jet, he's Taco, and today we're talking about widowed Susan and her hypothetical case example. She's financially stable.
Yeah.
She's got a great plan. She's got enough money, but she's worried, like many, about rising healthcare costs and unpredictable health emergencies, long-term care potential needs, and how something like that popping up at the wrong time, could it devastate her plan?
Yeah. Smart for Susan to be thinking about this. So this is a good one. So, Susan, 68, like I said, widow. She's got 750 saved, with 500,000 of that being in IRAs, 150,000 in a post-tax brokerage account, and a 100,000 in tax-free Roth IRA. Income is really good. She's spending $5,200 a month, where Social Security covers 2,800 of that per month, meaning she has a shortfall of $2,400 a month, $28,800 annually. Based on her $750,000, it's only a 3.8% withdrawal rate. Her home's paid off, no debt. She actually has some bank reserves not included in that $750,000 as well. So she's doing pretty good with her financial situation right now. So, you know, Jet, talk through some of the challenges that she is self-admittedly feeling and seeing right now.
Well, we're all seeing this, and you know, probably the biggest one that comes to mind is just healthcare premiums.
Yeah,
and the rising annual cost that our healthcare system repeatedly keeps rearing its ugly head on.
Yeah,
we know healthcare is only going to continue to get more expensive, and I'm generalizing here when I say the word healthcare.
Sure,
that can be insurance premiums, that can be Medicare premiums, that can be supplement policy premiums, prescription drug coverage, that could be long-term care policies, assisted living, skilled care, nursing home, you name it. The number one thing that people have to plan for, that Susan's worried about, is that these costs are going to continue to rise, and will her portfolio be able to withstand those increases in cost?
Yeah. Yeah. She doesn't have any coverage right now. So okay. Mentioned all of the positives, right? And income is usually the big foundation, and she's covered. She's really set up pretty well. Even the distribution she's taking, she's properly planned for it. She's got a bucket of money of the IRA money that she's using, you know, for income. So she's in a good spot there, but no plan whatsoever if she were to, need any sort of assisted living or anything of that nature. She has no idea where she'd pull the money from, how expensive it could potentially be. Her late husband actually handled a lot of the finances. So she's really kind of just not sure on what she would do if she needs any sort of help at this time.
Well, this stat continues to be the number one reason or fear that people have about retirement, and it's about running out of money.
Yeah.
And this is probably the leader in the clubhouse that makes people feel that way. Because even someone like Susan, who has a really good financial position, it can all come crashing down in the wrong instance.
Yeah.
If you're worried about rising medical costs, how that potential additional spend or need from the portfolio could affect your retirement plan, your withdrawal scenario, you need to go to riseinretirement.com, request a complimentary 30-minute phone appointment with an advisor on our team. We can start walking you through exactly whether or not you are a green light, a yellow light, or a red light with your withdrawal scenario, how you could factor in healthcare change in cost into your plan, both now but also into the future. There's some unique strategy we can discuss. Go to riseinretirement.com. Is there any other big things that stand out to you when you look at Susan's case?
No, I mean, I think at the end of the day, I'll go here. She's a green light with her whole financial situation, but there's just a couple of blind spots.
Mm.
You know, a lot of times we say, hey, if you're a yellow light, there's ways to go to green. There's potentially pitfalls if you do nothing of how you go, go to red. She's green now, but if she doesn't start doing something, the unexpected could bring her back to that yellow. So talk through, you know, what are some strategies that Susan can start doing now to really shore up those blind spots?
A really good analogy came to mind. I don't know if you do this watching or if you've ever done this, but have you ever driven through a green light at an intersection and still looked to your left and right to see if the cars that were going the opposite direction of you had stopped?
Absolutely.
That's the exact thing that's happening. Susan could be driving through a green light and get T-boned from something coming out of nowhere the other direction. And so possible strategies that she should consider. One is that she could set aside a dedicated healthcare or long-term care bucket. This is taking a portion of her wealth, putting it in an investment vehicle, a strategy that is tailor-made for when that long-term care need or that healthcare emergency occurs. She has money sitting aside that is designated for use for that cost.
Yeah.
So it's basically giving a very specific purpose to a chunk of her money that she knows she's probably never going to spend in her lifetime anyway.
Exactly.
And if she's lucky and she never has to spend it, then it's just legacy leave at that point.
So this could be really just a restructuring of the asset allocation. You know, maybe it's the post-tax money or the Roth IRA money that can be bucketed for potential use and just understand her plan a little better, right?
Yep.
The other thing is if she wanted to get really specific and, you know, depending on her age, health, there's a lot of different things, but she could start exploring, you know, some hybrid life or long-term care options, things that can provide some sort of immediate, you know, cash flow for assisted living, nursing home facilities, whatever it may be. If she's able to qualify for something like that.
Well, and that's what you were just reading my mind. I mean, Susan's 68 already.
Yeah.
So your traditional long-term care options are probably going to be a little dicey. It's going to be hard for her to qualify. But there are alternatives that work really well. And when you say hybrid or life types of options, there's some really neat things that we've helped some of our clients do that have kind of filled that void without having to apply for traditional long-term care insurance. So.
Yeah. One other strategy that I think, you know, maybe not even necessarily just for Susan here, but for anybody who's on Medicare, she's 68. You mentioned the cost going up. Get a second opinion on that. You know, if you're on Medicare, depending on the type of plan you have, you know, shop that around, make sure that you're paying the best premium, that you're working with the best carrier, all that good stuff too, to potentially lower costs.
Yeah. A couple more things here. We have to factor inflation into the equation. So one thing that someone should help Susan do is kind of factor an inflation-adjusted healthcare into her future withdrawal. So Susan's looking at this from the standpoint of, what did we say her withdrawal rate was? 3.8%. Great withdrawal rate.
Yeah.
But if we do some projecting and we say, hey, if we grow healthcare at a 3% annual clip from now until the end of your days, and let's say, Susan, you're going to live to 98. Let's take a look at what that withdrawal rate and the projected need monthly will be.
Yeah.
If we just automatically factor in that healthcare is going to continue to go up, and let's just make sure that the portfolio can withstand that increase.
Yeah. So, Jet, we got this question, and it kind of goes hand in hand with Susan's
viewer question.
So it's a viewer question. It's very relevant to exactly what we're talking about.
I love this question.
But the question was, hey, should I self-insure for long-term care? Or should I look into policies even if I'm in my late 60s? Kind of just talked about this, right?
Yeah. As a good CPA would always say, well, it depends. And truthfully, there is such a thing as self-insurance. And translation, it means you're not buying any long-term care insurance. You're not buying a policy. You're not buying a hybrid. You're going to decide, potentially with the help of someone like me or Taco here, that you have enough money saved to be able to self-pay.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, it has to be a good sizable portfolio. And I'm not talking, I should rephrase, I don't even mean dollar amount. I'm talking withdrawal rate has to be really, really low.
Exactly.
And even with Susan's healthy withdrawal rate of 3.8%, I still think it's a little high to be thinking about self-insurance or self-pay.
Yeah.
So if that number was, hey, you're only taking 1%, then yeah, you could probably start considering.
It's inevitable.
Self-pay.
There's dollars left. Yeah. So yeah. Hey, health's unpredictable, right? At the end of the day. So planning does not have to be unpredictable. This is a key planning area when you talk about a comprehensive plan. If you're like Susan, you want to protect your future lifestyle now, head over to Rise in Retirement, get a second opinion. We'd love to work with you and see what we can do.